Hey, this is Todd. Happy Friday. I currently have the video that I wanted to get out this week, continuing my series on hex crawling. It's currently rendering in Adobe Audition, but every time I look at it, it's taking more and more time now. It looks like it's upwards of 4.5 hours worth of rendering time. And given that I'm leaving on a camping trip in 3 hours or so, that pretty much puts a damper on that coming out until Sunday night at the earliest. So in lieu of that, here I am set up with using my cell phone to record, and thought I would get out a little video just to hold everybody over. So something that's come up in a couple of the Facebook groups that I follow over the last day or so, it was different people posting about min-maxing. Some people, for, and some people against, and of course the comment section, the dialogue and the back and forth that followed didn't seem particularly constructive. As it seems sometimes with cases like this, that people don't really listen to what each other are saying. And I think there's certainly an element of the pro min-maxer people that weren't choosing not to understand maybe some of the drawbacks or some of the criticisms associated with at least the more intense or extreme versions of min-maxing. And of course, there are people on the other end of the spectrum that at least come off as being anti-doing any kind of optimization at all. And that somehow trying to make the best fighter or the best bard that you can, is anathema. And of course, neither of those is correct. But I thought I would give my take on it as something that I could talk about. Probably not something that I would want to do a regular whole series video on, but I'll see how it goes in this format and if there's a lot of interest and there's other things, then maybe I can expand upon it later. So my take is I don't really have a dog in the fight, so to speak. I'm not anti-min-maxing. I'm not particularly for it. Either I think there's a place for it, and I'm going to break it down into a couple different segments, and you'll kind of see where I come out on those different segments. I've played with guys who I would consider to be min-maxers, and it works out fine. I think a lot of the negative aspects that come associated with it aren't really in the activity of min-maxing itself, but often in some of the players that are associated with min-maxing. When you run into a couple of players that give you a negative experience at the table and they all do min-maxing, then you're going to tend to lump them in and say, oh, min-maxing is bad, or I don't like min-maxers. Does that mean that nobody could ever min-max and do it well? Probably not. As is in a conversation, in particular on the internet, people just tend to go to extremes, and you go from having a few bad experiences with some people who min-max to I hate all min-maxers. But, it is what it is. So I want to first break it down and say there, I think the first step is optimization. And I would consider optimization being doing the best with what you have. So for example, if we're playing an old school game, and I really like this, by the way, and if you're worried about sort of min-maxing or over-optimization or specialization, the old school system of rolling 3d6 down the line, so you might get lucky and get a perfect set of attributes for a given class, but more often than not, you're going to end up with a bit of a hodgepodge. You can't dump stat anything because everything is already preset. So maybe you'll get your dump stat will have your low score, but maybe it'll have a medium score, maybe it'll have a high score. And often you have to look at your stats and then see what class that fits, as opposed to taking the class you want to play and fiddling around stats with it. But in any case, I look at optimization as taking whatever you end up with and then trying to make the best of it. So if you have a strength 18 and you say, okay, I'm going to be a fighter, and then you go ahead and say, well, I'm going to try to maximize that fighting capability that I can. So I'm high in strength, so let's see what else I can do to build upon strength, because that's my strongest attribute. So I'm really going to lean in there and push that as much as I can. That team I look at is optimization. It doesn't necessarily have the part of the min-maxing, which is the minimum part. When I think of someone optimizing, it doesn't necessarily mean, or in my mind anyway, when I think of it on just that level, it's not somebody actively negating other parts of their character's potential to keep pushing that maximal. So I'm not looking at it and saying, okay, I have an 18 in strength and I have an intelligence of 10 and the GM has said that I can do some kind of math point by thing where I can then pump that strength up to 20 and drop my intelligence down to 6. I put that a level above optimization, which would be in that kind of min-max territory, where now you're actively looking at, I'm going to make something a weakness. I'm going to deliberately create a weakness so that I can keep pushing the strength potentially above the bounds that I would normally be able to put it. So in that case, if it's point by, if it's whatever, you're going to look at how low can I drag one stat so I can keep pushing a stat really high. And again, this in itself isn't necessarily a problem. what can become a problem with this part of it. So I think optimization, there's no problem there. I think everybody tries to play somewhat optimal characters once they've decided what character they're going to be. And if you're multiclassing, then that means you may need to have several stats that are in a certain range. So that's going to affect how you can optimize those, whatever it is. I don't think anyone would say that, hey, you're making a fighter, you should make a sub, you should not try to make a good fighter from what you have. No, of course not. I think everyone would say, go ahead, make that good fighter. But then there's that next step to saying, well, now you want to make that good fighter, but now you're going to say, in order to do that, I'm going to weaken them in some way to kind of push that strength. And that's when you get into kind of the min-maxing range. Now, again, there's nothing particularly wrong with that to a certain degree, but what can happen, and the part where I probably run afoul of min-maxers, is maybe even that next level, which is, so now you've got this fighter, you've created a weakness so that you can really push a strength. Now you're going to push it even further by specializing. And you can think of specializing as really, it's just a continuation of that weakness thing. So now you're going to say, okay, I have a fighter, I've bumped up his strength, I've really taken down his intelligence as far as the GM is willing to let me go in whatever system we're playing, boosted his strength up to the human maximum or the player character maximum. What's next? So now I'm going to find an attack or some kind of action that I could take that's going to keep playing on that strength, and I'm going to boost the heck out of that to the exclusion of other things. So when you go to that extreme, and you call it power gaming, I think some people call it munchkin, probably depending on how you feel about it, when you get into that range, what ends up happening is you end up having a character that is extremely good at one thing. And I remember playing with some guys playing third edition and 3.5, and there was a guy who played a fighter. He was a trip attack fighter, and that's what he did. That's all he did. Trip attack, trip attack, trip attack. And he had maximized that particular action so that it was amazingly effective. It was, when he could do that trip attack, he could just do oodles and oodles of damage and all kinds of stuff all off that trip attack. But what would happen if he couldn't trip attack? If maybe we were fighting a snake or a gaseous creature, a ghost, and there is no trip attack, then he's severely handicapped because that's all he has. He has trip attack. He put all his eggs in that one basket. And again, that's not necessarily bad in and of itself. But how, as a player, you respond to that? So you created this bed that you're now lying in of saying, I am a trip attack master, and now not only am I not as good as anything else, but because of the way I built my character, I am actually weaker at that than I could have been otherwise, which to me is different than kind of optimizing. To me, you've taken that optimizing to the next level where you're choosing this narrow path, and you say, I'm going to ride that path, and I'm going to make everything else harder. Now, as a player, if you're willing to live and die on that, and the guy I played with playing that fighter, I don't recall him ever being frustrated if he couldn't trip attack something or if any kind of occasion came up, he just rolled with it. But I also see online a lot of people who argue that, well, as the GM, you got to keep putting stuff I can trip attack in front of me because that's my character. I'm trip attack guy, so you have to put trip attack stuff in front of me. And to me, this is where a line is crossed. At least the way I play the game, I don't build the world around the characters. The characters come to the world, you choose what you do, and you do it. But I don't sit there and say, oh, well, you've got a trip attack fighter, therefore everything has to be trip attackable. No, that's not how it works in my game. And I would caution anybody who came in and presented me with their character sheet and here's Mr. Trip Attack Guy, I would say, well, that's fine, but just be aware that you may run into things that you can't trip attack, and it's up to you to figure out around it. It's not for me to say, well, we're going to have 8 ghosts in the room, but okay, let's have one ogre there so that he can trip attack. It's not how it works, or at least not for me, that's not how it works, and I think for a lot of other DMs, it's not how it works. But players get in that mentality where they think it's somehow not their own decision to over-hyper-specialize like that. And when you get these hyper-specialist players playing these characters, and those same players, in a sense, don't take responsibility for that hyper-specialization. And in 5th edition, I've seen it kind of with grapplers. You get people who want to build these uber grappler builds, which is fine, but then they're frustrated if things aren't grapplable, or if something comes up and it's not easy to grapple anymore, or they can't grapple it. Suddenly, it's kind of not their fault. It's the GM's fault for not building encounters balanced around their grappling. But my same point would apply. Well, no one forced you to make an uber grappler, and I'm fine with the uber grappler, but guess what? There's going to be things that you're not going to be able to grapple. That's plain and simple. And if those things come up, then you got to figure out another way to do it. And you could have done that. You could have been a grappler and still had all these other options, but you decided to be the uber grappler. And you probably thought, you know, and the same guy's like, well, I'm not going to grapple. Not only am I only going to grapple, I'm not even going to carry other weapons because who needs them? This is it, just me and my bare hands. Okay, well, but you went to a haunted house and it's filled with ghosts and you could have had a plus one sword, but you sold it because you just wanted to grapple. You know, that's your problem. That's not my problem. And if you can if you can take it all in stride and say, this is how I built my character, I'm going to live and die with those strengths and weaknesses, then I have no problem with you. I think when it gets to be that, hey, I'm the hyper specialist and you need to craft your world around my hyper specialty, that's where I start to have issue. And of course, the other side of that is with the whole building in of a weakness is you become really good at one thing, you become really weak against, say, saving throws. So your AC is through the roof and you're grappling everything and you're amazing, but then you're weak on certain saving throws. And if, God forbid, the DM throws something with some saving throws, suddenly you feel unfairly targeted. Why are there always creatures with saving throws? Well, with, you know, abilities. Well, I mean, particularly when you get to upper levels, there are lots of creatures that do stuff with saving throw abilities. Like, that's not my fault. That's not my problem. You know, that's figure out a way around it because that's your weakness. You know, and I think if you're a player, then you just have to, you know, you go head first in that weakness and play it up because that's your character. You are an uber grappler who is not good at dodging fireballs. But fireball is a very common spell. So live with that. Don't complain that fireballs keep happening because they're bound to happen. So that's kind of my stance on the optimization to sort of min-maxing, to sort of power gaming munchkin kind of spectrum. But I think taking all that together, really the bottom line is it's going to come down to the individual players. And you're going to have players who, looking at their characters and how they build them, are going to fall somewhere in that spectrum. And are probably great players, and you may not even really realize they're doing things, and they're within the party, and everything is working great, and they're not complaining, and they're just doing everything the way they're supposed to, and it's great. And then you're going to find other players who don't handle it as well, maybe get a little too caught up in number crunching and spreadsheeting, and, you know, feel like the game owes them something for their hypo specialty. And those, I think, are the ones that are going to tend to leave a bad taste in DM's mouth. Certainly, I haven't had this experience myself, but when I read about it on Reddit, it tends to get my ire up because it's just a sense of entitlement, I think, that maybe just because I come from sort of an old school and I remember when, you know, pretty much were no abilities and all this stuff, that I still harken back to that a bit and think about that element. But I'm not trying to be this super grognard or anything, but you know, my perspective is you know, play with what you have and own up to it. And if you're gonna make a guy that's vulnerable in one area and super strong in another one, that's great. That's very heroic in a sense. There are plenty of heroes and characters who have that kind of weakness and strength, but own it. Don't try to hide behind the fact that somehow as a GM that we're supposed to, our world is supposed to be mostly not responsive to your weaknesses, but then open to your strengths. Because that's just not fair. Anyway, hopefully this video will render sometime in the next year while I'm young, and I'll be able to push it up on YouTube. I'm going to try to edit this a little bit just to get see what I can do. I've never done this on my phone before, so hopefully that'll work out okay. And hopefully I can, my internet at home has been, where I've been doing this, has been kind of terrible recently, so hopefully I can get this up in a reasonable amount of time, and then I can hit the road. I'll be in the woods the next couple days. Don't know what my internet can be, but you know, obviously you can reach me on Twitter or Reddit or in the comments, and I'll get to it when I get to it. I'll definitely be putting my hex crawl skills to good use, and hopefully we won't roll up any nasty random encounters. Until I get back, have a great weekend, and I will talk to you later.